Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look,
sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you the message.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the next to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life,
what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Hey.
Well, peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and I'm being joined tonight with none other than Mark in Houston, Texas. Mark, say hello to the nice people.
Well, hello to the nice people. This is your boy.
These are blessings.
This is your boy, Mark Sedit from Houston, Texas. And, yeah, we're going to have us a little fun tonight, I think. What's
up, Bree? What says Bree? Well, you know, this week is Love Times Love Week in honor of Valentine's Day week. And there were a few topics that we were going to be discussing this week, especially tonight, because tonight is part two of our discussion. But I have had a listener who happens to be an acquaintance of mine who seems to be a little offended with something that I said last night. And I just received a text message because, as many of my listeners may know, that those who are my friends or acquaintances or contact via Facebook, I have regular communications with the listeners, and I've been fortunate enough to even have their telephone numbers where we, you know, exchange dialogue throughout the week. And I just received a text message as the Bree Life Radio Show theme song was playing. And this individual is a little upset because last night, if you remember, Mark, when Gail, our beloved turtle, was on the line, and she and I were talking about some past things about when I was recently separated or divorced from my husband, and I started being open to dating, and I was doing online dating. I met several people, and one person in particular, well, there were several people that did this over the course of the years, but one person in particular I was referencing that was, was uncomfortable with the fact that I wasn't working at the time or that I was in transition. Or he wasn't really upset. He was uncomfortable with the fact that I was in transition, not working or just in transition. And he kind of faded to black. But then as of the last couple of months, this person and I came across one another, and we began communicating again. And he asked me, whatever happened to us? And I said, well, you faded to black because I was in transition. And he had recently lost his job. Now, if you remember last night, I said that there were two people that did that. One person had recently lost their job in, I think, I don't know, October, November, and another one over the summer. The one that I was talking about was the person who lost his employment over the summer. And the person who lost his job in October seemed to take offense. And what he wants me to ask the listeners, and he wants me to ask you, Mark, because you're in the male club, he wants me to ask you, if you had met me 10 years ago and I was in transition and I wasn't, or let's say I wasn't working, would you date me? For all the listeners out there, I really want to know how you feel about this topic. This was not on our plan for discussions for tonight, but this is something that's very personal to me because I lived this. I walked this off and on over a 10-year period. So I'd be interested to know your thoughts, and I'd love to hear from you. Could you please give me a call at 347-826-7119? That number, again, is 347-826-7119. Mark,
yes.
If you met me and I was in transition, meaning maybe I was, if I remember correctly, I was in nursing school at the time and I was working part-time. And I was in transition, meaning I was between places to live, because that's what happens sometimes when you're separating or divorcing. You know, you go through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have dated me? Me being a single mom, going to nursing school full time, working part time, and in a little struggle, because now the role that I had as spouse, living in a house, three cars, two motorcycles, a boat, you know, a spouse and a husband and a dog, which I didn't have that anymore. So,
well, I mean,
Do you think it's important to have financial stability? And what is considered enough financial stability? And does that really define who a person is, how financially stable they are?
Well, wow. I'll say this.
This was on our our scheduling program show, but this happened like 20 seconds into the intro, so I had to bring this up.
Well, first of all, I would have to like you first.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I don't know, you know, that you kind of look at, let's look at it like this. Number one, I think different age groups have different concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just like we talk about ages and stages of child development, there's ages and stages of human development. And there's certain things based upon a culture. A culture usually dictates, you know, what the quote-unquote norm is, and then you have something inside and outside of the norm. So if the normal concept is by a certain age, we have certain levels of accomplishment and certain things we've attained, then I think that there is a level of expectation that people have some level of stability in various areas of their lives. Of course, emotional stability, you have some level of stable health, because these things obviously impact your ability to conduct a relationship. Now, I will say that if you're already in a relationship, things can take place, and depending on if you come from the better or worse model, the better or worse model of relationships, whether that means you're married or you're in some other type of arrangement which makes you have a significant other then you work these things out. If you're coming into a situation that may have some levels of obvious instability, you may have some level of caution. However, I think the tipping point in that still is what the Spanish or Latin people say, la química, which is chemistry, the chemistry. So the chemistry is what I put in the category of unquantifiable. So the viable stuff is the things that you can label and number and name. The unquantifiable stuff is that thing that is, as your girl Lauren Hill says, that thing, that thing, that thing. And that thing is a thing that I cannot define clearly. Okay? It's a feeling. It's something that comes from inside, not outside. The likes are the outside things a lot of times. You know, I like the way you look, the way you talk, the way you dress, your breast size, your behind, your car. Those are the things. But when I start talking about, man, it's just something, when I go tell my homie or my mother or my friend or whatever that it's something about her, well, that's something that makes you want to do maybe something that you may not normally do. You know, like that stuff that the song says. So let me finish. So having said that, I think these things are considered when you interact. Now, if you're on a dating site, for instance, and there's very little disclosure or whatever disclosure is, most people are not on dating sites writing down that they're unemployed. I can promise you that. Because I think you would admit, if you looked at a man's profile and he said he was unemployed on his profile, you might not go any further.
Well, I beg to differ because this particular website, this particular website gives you options. It doesn't give you the option of unemployed, but there is an option when a person says that they're going to school. Now, I'm certain that most men would not want to be defined as a student if they were working full time. They would much rather identify themselves as employed or whatever their titles are, whatever options they give you for the types of employment, the industries you may work in, opposed to saying I'm a student. So when I've seen profiles with men that said that they were studying or in school, that clearly tells me that they're not working.
So what I'm going to say to that is this. Again, you can look for contextual clues. However, you will not see a person put, I am unemployed on a profile. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Because the moment you see even if you think you know, because see, even if I say I'm a student, I don't know, maybe I want to appear to be intelligent or something, or very, you know, educated or education driven. So I may put that because I could be working and going to the University of Phoenix. I know a lot of people that have done that. So I don't know that means that. I know this, though. If you put unemployed on there, there's no question about it. And I think I think the moment you see unemployed, see, think about it like this. If a person says they're retired, well, technically they're unemployed.
But, all right. Well, I don't want to talk about the semantics of it. I want to get down to the core issue. Would you date a woman if you were really digging her? Because obviously this guy in particular, and you know what? As a matter of fact, I'll go as far to say both of those guys in particular, they were digging me. They were digging me. And then they faded to black when they realized I was in school full-time, only working part-time, in transition, in between places to live. And let me just throw another dynamic in there. I was in the custody battle of anyone's lifetime, especially for anyone who knows me and knows how much I love my son. I was fighting literally for my life. So they couldn't deal with that. That was just too much. That was just too much. And they faded to black.
Well,
so
yeah,
what I want to know is, could you be involved with someone that had all of those dynamics going on in their life? Yes or no? And
yes.
Whatever your answer is, why? Why could you do it? Why
Again,
would you do it?
The only reason I could do it would be the only reason I could do it if I liked them or I was into them if they were in any other type of financial arrangement. I will tell you this, though.
By the way, I just got a text message from this gentleman, and he said, I'm still digging you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much to the listener. Go on.
Well, I think all I'm saying is that we will be kidding ourselves if we would say that we don't need money to do whatever we need to do. Okay, and I made observation. I'm gonna say joke or observation, but I said that you have $25 a week women, and you have $2,500 a week women, and you probably have everything in between. And the only reason I said that, I said because, let's say, for instance, the things that you wanted to do or like to do cost whatever they cost. So we like to take walks in the park, and maybe it might only cost whatever it would take to take the – if we were living in New York.
It would cost a round trip. Metro card if you lived in Brooklyn,
right.
Place like that, right?
So yeah, if we were living in New York, we wanted to go to Manhattan to go to Central Park, we would have to pay the transit. I mean, unless we really were like the person that loved to drive and we wanted to go ahead and park, pay $20, you know, or whatever to park, then fine. We might want to do that. I don't know. We might want to navigate the. Navigate the traffic. Most of us probably that live there wouldn't. If we were here in Houston where I am, we would at least have to drive to the park because rapid transit is not the hallmark of Houston. It's a very spread out place. So therefore, we're going to drive to the park, or maybe we live near the park and we'll go there. So that would be a little less cost inhibited. But let's say. What that meant was we're going to go to a play twice a month, and when we weren't going, and that means we're going to go eat before we go to the play. And even if we don't go to the play, let's say we're going to go to a movie every weekend or something like that. So that means we got to pay for the movie. We got to pay for.
Well,
we're probably going to have dinner.
Okay.
And so these things cost. Some people don't want to engage with you unless we're doing these things. And if we're going to do these things, they're cost. Let me say one other thing, though, about the guy that may have had the issue with
Here's the thing about that guy. I'm trying to encourage him to come on the line. I assured him that I would not disclose his name. But we do have another caller from the 713 area code. So I'd be interested in bringing them on the line. So that they can have an opportunity to give their point of view. So we'll bring that caller on now. Peace and blessings. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello. Peace and blessings.
Oh, hi.
May I ask who I'm talking to?
First time, Marquette.
I'm sorry? I can't hear you. You're coming in and out.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, what we'll do is we'll disengage the call. Hopefully the call, yeah, well, she disengaged herself. She'll be calling back. Well, let's get back to what your point was.
Well, all I'm saying is if I want to date you, then I have whatever my narrative is about dating, and if I want you to be my girl, then I have a narrative about that. So if the end game of dating is for you to be my woman, you know, quote, unquote, then I have to look at what I expect of my woman. Okay? So employment could very well be a hallmark of my expectation, one of the cornerstones of my expectation, whatever that means. I mean, so if that is, I may like you a lot, but then it may come under the heading of the Tina Turner syndrome, which is what love, what does love got to do with this? So,
you know, you reference a lot of songs in your points of view.
That's my thing. That's my thing. The songs.
Our
so,
caller
see,
from,
so people,
our caller from, wait, our caller from 713 is back.
Hi,
hello?
This is, hi, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. My name is Candace.
Hello,
and,
Candace.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, we want to welcome you to the Bree Life Radio Show. Thank you very much for calling in. I hope you were listening.
Yes,
and,
I was listening.
I'd be very interested to hear what you might have to say.
Well, it's a very interesting topic considering the way the economy is, and there are a lot of people that are out of job, and despite that, they're looking for love. I know
well, maybe
that
not
you
as
had...
all, not maybe it's not always that a one is looking for love. Maybe you know, just because you don't have a job does not. You know, it doesn't mean that you should be void of companionship, you know, company,
yeah,
someone to
I
talk to, someone to touch you. I mean, does because you're unemployed, does that mean that
you,
or you're in transition, does that mean that you're not deserving of the company of someone who has compassion? Maybe you need somebody to talk to.
Well, I mean, if that's all you're looking for, well, it should be made clear, you know, once you have, you know, introduced yourself to whomever it is you're interested in. But if you're looking for a relationship, just, you know, just by listening to what you were on with you, there were you did have a lot on your plate. And if you're just looking for some, just for a companion, you know, well, I mean, if a person is digging you, well, then that's basically all you should be expecting for them to do. But if you're looking and expecting more, then how much time would you be, how much time are you able to give to that person? Not to mention the lack of money, but,
well, lack of money to do what exactly, though? What are we talking about?
Well,
because here's the thing: if we're not talking in hypotheses right now, if we're talking about my actual situation, I was going to school full time, I was working part time. If I was in any relationship or if I was still at home with my husband, I'd still be doing those things. So that would not make
and your husband, yeah, and your husband, and that was. Yeah, and that was, and your husband married you because it was something that he was interested in that caught his attention. However, someone coming from the outside looking in, and you're limited in what you're capable of giving, and they're, you know, I mean, most times people, you know, they want to receive as much as, you know, they can give, you know, to that person. So if you can't really give very much, you know, they're not going to, I don't think a person would be too in taking it any further than just digging.
I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that, and let me tell you why. Because I was given everything in my marriage. And when I married my husband, we were equal in salary. We were both almost at the $100,000 a year mark. 3 years into our marriage, I doubled my salary. I exceeded what he was making. Plus, I had two very profitable businesses because I've always had a little side hustle that made a lot of money. But then what happened down the line, the World Trade Center incident happened, and I was working as the second largest database company in the world, and when those towers fell, so did my job. And then being responsible and keeping to the partnership that we formed, I just didn't sit back because I was devastated with 9/11. I still tried to help keep up with our bills. But because of that incident, 600,000 people in New York were suddenly unemployed. So I couldn't get a job like I was used to being able to get rather quickly as a consultant. So I had to go from $140,000 a year to $40,000 a year. And my husband turned around and looked at me and said, "Is that the best you can do?" So what do you do with a person that, one, you came into their life and improved their quality of life, and you've been with them more than a handful of years, and you go through a transition, a shift in your finances, in your job capacity, and your earning capacity, and then they turn around and look at you and say, because you're earning $100,000 less than what you were used to making, and that's all they can give you back is that the best you could do? So what I say and what I have said from that point onward is that moving forward, you're going to get my worst first, because I have to know that in good times and in bad, you're going to be down for me, not down to get me. You're going to be ride or die, because if you can't grind it out with me when things are not good, I don't need you. Why should I be working hard to help secure the life that we're living, but as soon as there's a shift, you throw your hands up and you look at me like I have 10 heads and 7 crowns, like I'm the Leviathan. I don't think that's right. I also don't think it's right that we look at each other for monetary gain. Stability, financial stability is one thing, but when you're looking at a person and sizing them up for how well or what they can do to provide you a better life or better stability, why can't you do that on your own? Why can't you bring that to the table? And why can't you pull your resources together and help one another? Because it's not always going to be equal. You know, that's what I say. Bree said it. I don't take it back. That's how I feel, because I've been on both sides of the table.
Well, I mean, if, you know, you had mentioned that, is that the reason why your husband left you, because of your decrease in income? Because if that's the case,
if you're asking me if that's the reason why he left me, I think there were the finances. Like, it's been, you know, studies have been done, research has been done on why marriages in the last 25 years consistently break up, and the top two reasons are finances and infidelity, and we had problems with both of those issues. When things began to get tight, it put more pressure on him to have to step up to the plate, and that's not really what he was bargaining for. Because he was being strategic in who he chose as a partner.
Well, when, okay. Well, I mean, I don't see that the financial piece. I mean, I do believe when a person comes into a relationship, they want to meet someone who does have an income or income and that they have the potential of doing better.
And there's nothing wrong with
but
that.
When you meet, however, however, if you meet someone and they have a limited income and they're going through a divorce battle and they're dealing with, you know, custody of their children and they're struggling to pay their bills, I can't remember exactly what else you had mentioned, but that's a lot. And I wouldn't want to enter into a relationship where a person has that many dynamics going on. And I understand what you're saying. Oh, well, if you can't take me while I'm going through all these struggles, then, you know.
Because those struggles were not forever.
I don't want you to accept me at all. But what happens is when you enter into a relationship, you do want to, you want to be able to experience that honeymoon. You know, you, because you know that the struggles are going to come. I mean, maybe some people don't, but that's just how life is. It has its challenges. However, in the beginning,
what is the honeymoon? What are you referring to?
A honeymoon phase is when you first meet someone, and they have you interested in all of their potential. You know, most times when you meet someone, of course, they have their representative, you know, show up, even though you're not, you don't want no one that's going to fake you out and pretend to be someone that they're not. However, when you present yourself, you know, you put on your put on your best face. You put on that good impression because you want to, you know, you want to show this person that, you want to show this person that you're, you have the ability of being in a relationship, you know. And so, when you first meet a person, of course, you want to see all the goodness about this person because you know that there are some flaws. There's going to be flaws, you know. So when you initially meet someone, yeah, you want to be able to, you want to have fun with that person. You want to enjoy life. You don't want to consider or think about the negative things that are going to come about, even though you know it's going to happen. But in the beginning, you want to be able to enjoy that person. You want to fall in love with that person. It's hard to fall in love with someone who, to me, I feel like it's hard and difficult to fall in love with someone who's struggling.
Well, then, if I may, I understand the honeymoon phase because I've been in the honeymoon phase with my husband and my ex-husband, and I was in the honeymoon phase for two other relationships that I've been in my lifetime. And they all did not start out, they didn't all start out peaches and cream because for most of us, it's just not that easy, you know. Two people don't always find one another under the best of circumstances. And again, I'll say it again and again, that was my circumstance. That certainly was not who I am. So all that was going on with me did not change. I mean, of course, there's going to be change because of certain things happening to you. And yes, I did change, but I never stopped being who I was at the core. I never could negotiate or compromise my moral code. I did not become one of those women who become bitter because they've been wronged by the man that they committed themselves to and loved. And now they, you know, they come out the gate and they're suspicious of all men and stuff like that. And men do it too. So please, for my female listeners, I am not being biased to men. I'm saying that we, both men and women who go through bad divorces or bad breakups, sometimes they do that. I am not that person. I am the consummate optimist. I always look at people with thinking that, you know, this person has my best interest in mind. They're coming with their best intentions until they prove me otherwise. And I've been proven wrong a few times in my little short time here. So I hear what you're saying. I tend not to agree because I know what my struggles were. I know what my walk was. And I know who I was then and who I remain to be throughout all those terrible things that were going on and that were happening to me. And just because that stuff happened to me, it doesn't mean that if I would have met the right guy that would have stood with me and said, you know what, I know you're going through all this, but I got you. I would have been good to him, not just because that's who I am at my core, but I would have worked harder to even make him happy because he was standing next to me in my worst moment. And that's who I want to wind up with. And I believe that's what most women want because everything ain't a honeymoon. It's not a honeymoon. This is a very hard world we live in. The economy is jacked up, and people are losing their jobs, their homes, and their way of life every day. But that does not make them bad people. That makes their circumstances kind of tough. And everybody deserves to be loved, respected, to have compassion. Or what do you call it, Brother Mark? What is that thing we used to talk about?
Wait a minute. Here's the thing. I've been listening to this.
What is the TLC? Because I was thinking about it earlier and I couldn't.
It's PCA, Passion, Care, and Attention.
PCA.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves it. But Candace, thank you so much for calling in. Could you hold on? Because I really want to bring you back on in a few moments, but I want to talk to Mark.
Okay.
Thanks. So, Mark, what do you think about what Candace said?
I hear what you're saying, but for real, I'm walking up into a situation. This woman got all this going on. She got too many distractions outside of herself.
Okay.
Too many distractions. Because mm-hmm. love her dearly, but too many distractions. It's like I got friends like that where I love them dearly, but, they got so much going on. I'm like, I can't hardly get through a conversation without having to go through their stuff. So it's going to be hard for me to attach to you when I'm constantly trying to maneuver your stuff. And you cannot tell me.
Wonder if you're not conducting yourself like that. Wonder if you are not conducting yourself in that fashion.
Look, trust me. I've listened long enough to know that I get what you're saying. So all I'm saying to you about this is this. It's the fact that you've laid out all of this. So all of this is there. So I have to figure out how to maneuver all of this. And you're right. Maybe you say it's not there, but if it wasn't nothing to talk about, you wouldn't have brought it all up.
No, I didn't say it wasn't present. I just said, wonder if you're not conducting yourself in a manner in which you're always throwing this on the person who's trying to get to know you. Because here's the difference here's the difference between me and a lot of other people, both men and women. I give it all to you so that you can make an informed decision. People don't come with their truth because, as Candace and as I have said in the past, people present their representative.
Their representative is all shiny and everything. I got all of that. So it's not, I'm not having no problem understanding what you're saying. I'm telling you this. 9 times out of 10, you could call the guy whatever you want to call the guy or the woman if she was dealing with the same thing. But the reality is when you walk into a very
dramatic in your mind. And you got to remember, that's what you're reacting to. If this stuff pops off and we're married to each other or we're whatever, then it's part of my stuff too. You know what I'm saying? Now, if a guy is like your ex that did whatever he did when the situation went down, well, like you said, you know, that was built upon a lot of other stuff. You know what I'm saying? But a new guy coming off the street, digging you, saying, oh, look at you, cute little, I'm digging you, wow. Then you start telling me about this, I'm like, oh, she ain't as cute as she was no more. Well, she's not telling you.
Oh, my goodness,
she ain't that cute because we are sensual people. You dig? We got our five senses are employed. Now, your eyes got me going. Your scent got me feeling you, but you just messed my ears up with that stuff you just told me. Now, you just threw me off. Now, I got to figure out. Now, check this out. Wait a minute. My eyes still feeling you? My nose still smelling you? My hands want to still touch you, but my ears is messed up. And my ears, everybody knows my ears. Think about your ears. If your ears get messed up, you will throw your balance off, but your ears get messed up. So everybody knows you can get vertigo because of something getting up in your ears. So you just messed up the whole vibe when you start telling me this stuff because now you're in my ear, and I'm trying to grab onto the table like, whoa, shit, what all she just said? Woo! So now mind you, I'm still digging you. And I'm still processing because I still want to dig you. But I'm sitting at the crib right now after I'd have finished hearing all of this stuff. I'd have had a nice time with you for the moment. I go to the crib and I'm saying, oh, hell no. But I like her, but oh, hell no. But she smelled good, but oh, hell no. But she looked good, but oh, hell no. See, so now I got oh, hell no versus all the other stuff. And it's throwing, and now I feel like I'm in a tennis match, back and forth. And I don't want to do that because, like Candace said, she got a point. I want my honeymoon. I want the part where my ears are feeling the same thing that my eyes and my nose and my hands are feeling. You just threw the whole game off. You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like, but baby, I ain't even mad at you. I ain't hating on you. And I ain't saying you don't need love. I just don't think I'm the one. I can't do it. And if you want to be real, I'm being real. I got a faith. Because this is not. Just like, I can't do this. So then there's somebody else that might be the one for that. He may be the project man. He may be the project man. He may like projects. Okay? He don't want no honeymoon. He want a project. You got a lot of stuff going on. So you might want the carpenter. You did? He ain't looking for no honeymoon. He's trying to build a house with you, and he's going to help you with your stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be your support system. He don't even know you yet, but he's supporting you. Because remember, if I'm in a relationship with you and things pop off, now I'm supporting you through it because I know. But I know who I'm supporting first. Now I'm meeting you with all your stuff. And I'm like, whoa, I need to know you first. Damn. I might not even want to support you.
Okay,
you know
so check this out. So let me ask you, would you have preferred, let's say it was you and I, would you have preferred me to not tell you about all the things that were going on with me until how long would you want to know the truth? Because
no,
those things were relevant things.
I want to know. No. We just got to do no extra talking. I want to know so I can run.
Okay. See, there it is.
Let me know. My point is this. Unemployed is one thing. Unemployed is a temporary situation. Unemployed is not even something that you might always want.
And so is divorce. So is custody battle.
Transition. Yeah, but Bree, stop for a second. You need to stop and back up for a second and look at it like this. For just a second. And it's like this. If it's just unemployment, and that's one thing. If it's just
which affects all those things.
if it's just, but now you're going to give me, it's this. Oh, wait a minute, stop. You know, and right now I got an ingrown toenail, and, you know, oh, come on. but now we can't walk as fast as we usually walk because my foot is hurt. I mean, oh, my goodness, I just met you. Come on, baby.
Okay.
You got two buttons going.
Well,
oh,
I hear you.
So to me, I'm like, wait, let me say this. So wait a minute. I know you hear me, but dig this. My thing is, why don't you go look at Love American Style, read you a book, and get your romance from there for the moment while you get your stuff straight. Then get out there. Because you'll probably like you better too that way.
So is that concept still applicable to someone who is unemployed, but still yet pursues the companionship of a woman or a man?
Well, nine times out of ten, I'm going to say this again. Unemployed does not mean I ain't got no money. I mean, unless I'm living in a shelter, unemployed don't mean I ain't got no money. So, and unemployed don't mean I ain't got no plan that I'm working on. But if I'm hollering at you, I'm capable. And I'm not putting you in my business, and I ain't putting you in no problem. So I'm dating to the level that I can. I'm going to date to the level that I can. And if you cool with
okay.
that,
okay.
then you're cool with that.
And then what happens when it's no longer cool, but yet you've invested your time and given a lot of PCA to somebody?
Yeah, well.
Let's say this was you. So let's say,
you. I've been there.
Okay. And you've invested your time, and you've given your PCA to someone. But now they're not digging you.
I'm going to tell you what you do. Our friend Turtle.
Move around.
My friend Turtle told me this. You know what my friend Turtle told me? I'm going to tell you the story she told me. It's a real quick little story. Her dog.
And I just want to give a shout-out to Turtle because she's out there listening. She's in queue.
This is what she said to me a long time ago when I was going through some stuff. She said her daughter came home one day, and her daughter teacher told her this because she was upset about something that happened in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like how things went. This is what her teacher told her. She said, baby, you get what you get, and you don't have a fit. You get what you get, and you don't have a fit. So that's what you're going to do. Guess what? You're going to say, oh, well, this wasn't the one. Because, look, there's nothing that you're going to do out here that you ain't shooting the craps on. Everything is a crapshoot. I don't care what you think it is. And the longer that it works, don't you think? You think it's short. Every day something works. You buy into it even more. See, the reality, everything is temporary. Everything.
Okay. Well, and we're going to end this topic on that note. Everything, and that was my point exactly, that it was just my circumstance. It's not who I was as a person, and it was temporary. And believe me, things got a lot better.
Of course,
okay.
And you look better then. And that's when you look better.
And I'm better now. And
there
I'm
you go,
better
now.
Now.
You go.
I'm even better
there you
now.
Well, there you go.
And you know that,
there you go.
Okay?
There you go. Can
you dig
it?
Okay, so there we go. So we're going to wrap up that topic. And now we are going to take a little break because I think we need a little break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss what the role should be. We're going to revisit our discussion yesterday on the roles. And I would invite our caller Candace to participate in this conversation because I liked her dialogue and I'm very interested as to what she thinks of what the role should be for both men and women. So we're going to take a little break. This is Bree Life Radio, Love Times Love Week, and I think that's what we're going to kick it off with. Stay tuned.
Remember the days when we never had a dime and our dreams million miles away, but we made it, baby, facing the bad times.
So come on, girl, and hold me tight the way you always do. We love and be at you.
Well, you heard it. That was Love Times Love by George Benson. I'm your host, Bree, and I'm being joined tonight with the infamous Mark in Houston, Texas. Mark, baby, you out there?
I am here.
Okay. So it's Love Times Love Week on the Bree Life Radio Show. And we're coming back at the top of the hour to discuss the roles, to revisit the roles in the relationship. So where did we leave off last night, Mark?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. I don't know where we left off. I mean, I have a thing, you know, we talk about the roles, and for me, what's been on my mind about the roles is an old saying, and I have some things about it, which is who wears the pants. And when I say who wears the pants, because that came from a prevailing belief, and that was that, you know, men used to wear pants pretty dominantly, especially if you go back beyond the 50s. You very seldom saw women in any pants. You know, even if they were laboring, they labored in dresses or skirts. So that phrase, who wears the pants, is coming from a tradition where the man controlled the flow of the income and the decisions as far as what would happen in that relationship. It also came with the chivalrous behavior of opening doors and paying for this and paying for that. We've had some shifts in our culture and our cultural underpinning. So now the question to me is, you know, if the traditional roles have changed, when it comes to the man or whoever wears the pants, is it determined by economics or is it gender-based now? So when we look at the role in a relationship, is the role driven by the gender or is it driven by the economics? You know, and I believe in conversing with people over the past several days here that there's a prevailing belief that I'm a traditionalist, meaning the person is a traditionalist. And my belief is that you're a selective traditionalist, so you find those things that were traditional
or that a culture traditionally held, and then you carry those over, and then you create your own new customs and traditions. So I think some of the things that a lot of the, and I say women and men buy into too, that are the traditional things are the opening the doors and the paying for the meals and the things of that nature. However, when we start getting into the relationship, how that vessel sails is quite interesting when it comes to the roles. And my question really is, are the roles more economic-based roles or more gender-based as far as who wears the pants? Or do we have one leg on the man and one leg on the woman? I don't know. We're sharing the pants. I don't know, but that's just a thought of mine.
Well, who wears the pants? And you know we had this show last year, Who Wears the Pants. We actually did a two-part series of that. What I even want to be a little granular with it, because when you're married, there's the roles of a relationship between a man and woman, and they look at each other a little differently because of that piece of paper. Or I would like to know how single people look at what the roles should look like also. That's why I think that people should call in and give us their thoughts about that, 347-826-7119. But since we had our gracious caller, I believe her name is Candace, we're going to bring her back on the line and see what her thoughts are about the roles between men and women, and see if she feels that they're different because of marriage versus just being in a relationship.
Well, you know what? I want to ask Candace something myself.
Well, Candace?
Are you there, Candace?
Oh, really?
Candace, I want to ask you. I have a question for you, Candace. And here's the question. The question for you is, we're talking about roles and relationships. Is there something a man's supposed to do, or is there such a thing as this is what a man is supposed to do as far as you're concerned?
Well, I believe that a father, well, I guess you could say a man, the male aspect of the as far as the role in the family, he's the provider, and he guides the family in the direction they need to go. The family, he's always making sure that the family is safe. I mean, the man in the family, his input in making decisions is very important. I believe that a woman and a man, they come together and they make decisions, but I do believe that a man should have the final say-so. I think some women may disagree, but a woman she should make sure that her husband is being respected in that way.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so let me go back. So when it comes to dating, what's the role of the man in dating?
In dating.
He ain't married you yet. You done made him marry you already.
He should show interest in the woman and letting her know that that she's important. And spending quality time with her. And I personally don't believe that it's always about spending money. I just feel like he should show interest. He should call her on the regular. Let her know that she's beautiful and how he's very interested in getting to know her even more. Taking her out on dates.
Okay, stop right there. Taking her out on dates. Here's a question for you then about that. So, is it okay for you to pick him up?
You know how I feel about that.
No, I do not know how you feel about that.
Here we go.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
Picking him up, what, in the car? Picking him up?
Well, stop it. Wait a minute. Now, you caller, you were
okay.
not here yesterday.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Hello? Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. My phone is acting up.
No, I don't know where
okay.
Mark is. Mark? Okay.
Oh, he disappeared?
Well, he'll be back. You finish your point, Candace.
Well, he asked me about a woman picking up a man. I think, like, initially, I've talked about this before.
Here we go. Uh-huh.
Initially, you know, if you want to meet, like we live in a big city, so I don't think I feel like, you know, a woman isn't handicapped. You know, if I have a vehicle and you want to meet, we can meet. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It'd be nice if you want to come pick me up. When it comes to that, I don't think a person is designated to do some, you know, one or the other. Now, if you're constantly telling me to come pick you up, is it because you just ain't got no gas in your car? Like, really? But sharing that responsibility, I have no problem.
Okay, stop.
That doesn't make,
that doesn't make a person
less than a man if you go pick him up at his house.
Okay, Candace, let me hear what Mark has to say. Yes, Mark.
No. All I want to know is what do you feel is supposed to happen?
What do I feel was supposed to happen with what? Exactly.
A woman picking up a man from his house?
Is that what you're referring to?
Oh,
goodness.
Do we
Mark.
Again?
Yeah, because he knows I'm getting ready to blast it.
No, wait a minute. Wait, slow down. Look, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking this question. So you wasn't on the show last night, so Bree,
oh my God, Mark, please. What?
I presented this last night, and it was that I know people who feel that that's what the man's supposed to do, and then Bree said 98, 99, it was a high 90s%. That's what goes on with her too. She don't be picking nobody up. She ain't taking nobody out. They taking her out. They
no,
picking her
wait,
up.
Stop. No, that's not. And Turtle is listening, and she can come on anytime
it.
She wants to. No, what I said was, I said.
Oh, now we're going to backpedal.
Ain't no backpedaling, baby. I said that 98% of the time, I have never had to pay for dinner. I didn't say we weren't talking about picking somebody up.
You picking
different.
People up? Were you doing that?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Don't play with me. I know I'll
run. No, but you didn't ask me that last night.
But
you
that's okay. But so now, okay. So
about
okay,
paying for dinner.
Okay.
And
fine.
Then the question was,
how
and
many...
then the question, excuse me, stop. And then your question was, would I go on a date with somebody that I wasn't digging?
No,
and Turtle said, yeah. Or maybe she asked the question, and she said she would go, because, you know, out of being nice or a charity case and stuff like that. And I said, hell no, because I'm not getting dressed, doing my hair, going
to
all the
changes.
But
wait a minute. You're going way back to what I'm asking you. What do you do? Back to the question.
What is the question?
So the question
get
is,
to it.
Do you pick up men and take them out?
No.
Okay. So that goes in your 98% then. So that means that goes along with a whole lot of women in a certain age category for sure. Younger women may not attest to that, but certain women in a certain so I'm listening to Candace. Candace looks sounds a little more liberal and progressive than the most women that I run into. They're more like what you're saying. They ain't picking nobody up, and they sure ain't paying for no dinners.
If you my man. We doing it for each other. If you are somebody that I'm getting to know, wait, that's what I'm saying. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I was just about to say that. If you are not my man and we are just getting to know one another and we're dating, no, I am not doing that.
Well, okay, so, and I'm going to say this. A friend of mine that I have, they said, this is what their brother said. I'm going to read you what they said their brother said. They said,
okay,
I spoke with my brother and his take on first date paying. He said on the first date, he go Dutch.
Oh, here we go with the Dutch guy again.
Wait a
minute.
He'll
go stick his finger in a dam somewhere.
Wait a minute. He said he don't owe the girl anything. And he said, maybe the second date, but he said it's only fair for women to pay at times. And she said my brother is a big spender.
Ooh. Well, he had a big spend on the first date, too.
So that's what a friend of mine told me. So, Candace, when you hear something like that, what do you think? If you heard somebody say, what do you think?
You know what? I'm very liberal. I am. And I personally don't see anything wrong with it. I have done it before. Because my thing is, too, like what you had mentioned, you don't go. Like, if you're just dating and you're like, well, I want this, if it's okay for that person to pick you up because you're not in a relationship, but my thing is, so what are you doing? What are you offering? What are you bringing? If you're meeting.
I'm going to tell you what she's bringing. She's bringing her face. She's bringing her
I'm joking. I'm bringing myself. I'm bringing conversation. I'm bringing the same thing he's bringing to our first.
And he bringing the money.
Oh, well, he needs to bring that or the MasterCard, American Express, something.
And you talking about
absolutely.
You being unemployed. And you talking
exactly.
about you being unemployed. And you talking about you being unemployed.
Look,
now,
exactly.
see, here is my problem
and
with all this conversation.
And wait, we're talking about the roles now. See, we're talking about
together.
The roles. No, it doesn't.
A river runs through it.
There's the cultural, then that's the cultural divide. Because the way I was raised by my own school father, he told me that a man is supposed, a man, not somebody that's pretending, okay?
No.
A man is supposed to... That's because we're talking about the – now here's the cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
Candace may have been raised different than I was raised. You may have been raised differently than
mm-hmm.
I was raised, but I know how I was raised, and I don't make no apologies for it, okay?
We know.
All right.
We know.
There it is. Herein is the lesson.
Hey,
if you come to pick me up on a
is,
date, you better have some money in your pocket. If you expected me to pay for the dinner, I'm not doing it. I'm not. Because I know how to go. Listen, Bree knows how to go out and feed herself and have a good time by herself. When I'm ready to have a meal by myself that I'm going to pay for, I will go and do it. But if you ask me out on a date, Then you're saying that you want me to share your company,
and it's going to cost you.
Yes.
Right, because it ain't going to cost you to get my company. Not at all. My company's free. Exactly. See, that's that craziness, but that's fine. You can have it. I ain't mad.
Okay.
But see, when I hear you frame that like that, that shows me what my value is in your eyes in that situation.
No, your value was proven when I gave you my time and attention to hear what you had to say.
Again,
so we could
when we exchanged numbers,
we were talking on the phone, we were getting to know one another. So it was an even exchange, and in that case, even exchange is
no
robbery. No,
it wasn't. No, it wasn't. There was no even exchange. Because if it's an even exchange,
let me tell you something.
Listen,
well, you know what? I make no apologies for my perspective. Just like you, for 2 years of me knowing you, you say you ain't taking care of no woman. So I expect for you to have this point of view. Because you said you
ain't taking care of nobody.
You let somebody take care
something.
Of them. You'll
okay,
take care of yourself, and
let
she'll
me,
take care of herself.
Let me clarify something real
quick. Candace, if you listen, if you ever have an opportunity, I want you to go on the Bree Life Radio Show archives on Blog Talk Radio, and you listen to the first 6 months of our dialogue.
Okay.
Mark said it, claims emphatically that he does not want to take care of a woman. He ain't taking care of a woman. He said he going to take care of himself, and she going to take care of herself.
Okay, so
it all depends on what do you how do you define taking care of.
Okay,
because you can take care of a person emotionally. You can take care of a person in other ways. So it all depends. You know, you're taking care of a person by giving them advice, giving them mental support.
Candace, I'm not talking about dating stuff. I'm talking about money. Money.
Oh,
he said he ain't taking care of no woman. She going to take care of herself, and he going to take care of himself.
I believe if he had the funds to do it, I think he would think a little differently about it. If he maybe was making $100,000, his whole outlook on that would be different. But it all depends on can he afford to take care of a woman.
Wait a minute, I gotta break in
because he is sitting here, so he can talk for himself. So let he talk, please. Now he is getting ready to talk. Let he talk. He is talking now.
I don't believe it. You better listen to the archives, girl.
Well, no, you ain't got to. You know what? But that's like you looking at. Well, anyway, let me say this. I'm going to say this. My thing is this, is that I believe that if I care for you, that I'm going to have your best interest in mind with whatever resources that I have. So let's get some straight as far as taking care. But a woman who is coming from the vantage point of saying, you know what, you're going to take care of me, and from the standpoint of saying that, hey, ain't doing nothing, you won't do it. That's what I was talking about. I'm talking about this whole attitude.
Oh my God, where are the usual suspects? Please, if you are anywhere in earshot of my voice, please call in to 347. What's the number? 347-826-7119. Because Mark is on here lying. He's backpedaling because yes, you are. Mark.
I am not. Here's the thing. You can't take stuff out of context. The context.
Mark,
was
how
this.
Many discussions we have had? Endless discussions.
And what
about
was it?
All?
Okay,
this.
Wait a minute. But what you're missing is this. When you talk about the conversations, they were based upon people not wanting to have any responsibility for themselves and wanting me to have a responsibility for them. And that's what the front, even if you look, you can listen to the archive, that's what the conversation was about.
Out the gate, or once you were already marinated?
No, I'm talking about out the gate, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? When we marinated,
we never specified that.
Well, if that's
you
the case,
you made it clear
okay.
that in a relationship, you ain't said nothing about no out, no gate. In the relationship, a woman is going to take care of herself, and you going to take care of yourself in that relationship. That's what you said.
Okay, and I'm going to say it again.
And that's pretty vague.
That I guarantee you. You know what? And that's so crazy because if you go –
Are you a part of the Mark Wade fan club?
No, she don't even know me. She don't even know me, so it don't make a difference.
It seems like I'm Team Mark.
You are Team Mark, girl. You know what? I ain't mad at you.
Let me tell you. I personally wouldn't want no man to take care of me, quote unquote, take care of me financially, because then therefore he's controlling just way too much. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't buy. I'm not going to wait for you to give me money to do what I want to do. One thing I do realize, men can be real stingy. It all depends, though, how much money they have. And it depends on, you know, of course, maybe their upbringing. It depends on their outlook in life. I don't know. But I personally wouldn't want to depend on a man giving me allowance, money. I mean, I would consider that person as a housewife.
Well,
but
here's the thing.
I like having my own money, and I like to spend the way I want to spend. So, as far as taking care of, I wouldn't want no man to take care of me.
Okay. If
he's a ball player, if he's making maybe $1 million, that's a different story. We on a whole different level. But it all depends on what
you
mean.
I get what you're saying with regards to being taken care of. If this particular man that you're referencing is trying to control you based on him monetarily taking care of you. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being either in a committed relationship or married and how and what your roles are with one another, and specifically what we're talking about, how the money is spent, who does what, how much does one person do or contribute? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, and so
wait, no,
I don't say this.
Say,
I'm going to say this
say,
then. Let me say this real quick. I just want to say this. Here's the thing, which is crazy. And I'm going to say this clearly to you. My thing is this, is that when we come together, we come together as a team for a cause, and it's out of our love for each other, okay? So the reality is this. Whatever I have, if I'm in love with you, I'm bringing it. So even if you want to go back and listen to archives, say whatever you want to say, the point is I'm standing here telling you this that I know for sure. What I know for sure is that I'm not going to be sitting up here holding on to my money and wanting you to spend yours, per se. My thing is I want you to know that we came together to do what we did. And I will agree. If I'm making $1 million, if I'm balling hand over fist and I got what it is, damn. Because here's the funny thing about it. Whatever little money I got now, I spend the same damn way. So I spend what I got.
Okay.
Because that's who I am. But the whole concept of taking care of, see, for me, taking care of is multifaceted. It's not just about money anyway. And so the whole point
it's not.
From the old school way of taking care of, you were women were property. So let's keep it real. That's what it was. So
we ain't talking about what women were.
Exactly,
we're not going
we're
there.
Not. So
we are not going there.
Okay, but can I finish, please? Just let me finish. All I'm saying to you is this, is that but you're taking that same take care of me and bring it into the 90s, where you're right, it's not that. But that's where it came from. It came from taking care of the woman because she was the weaker sex, the fairer vessel, the one that had to be taken care of. She couldn't do nothing but cook and clean. That's what she was supposed to do. Now she's doing way more than that, but she's requiring the same thing. That is out of balance because you got to understand the traditions came from a very functional place.
Aren't men requiring the same thing of a woman in lieu of her taking on additional independent roles outside of the home? Mm. He's still expecting what?
No, I'm not expecting. Wait a minute. You ain't hearing what I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm trying to say. I am not for this woman being submissive stuff. I don't play that game. But I'm telling you, all of this take care of me stuff came from the submissive woman. That's where it came from. So I'm saying things have evolved. Now, some women may still want to be submissive and be up under the thumb of a man. They just might want that. Ain't nothing wrong with that if they got somebody that's agreeing to co-sign for that kind of interaction. I'm just saying, I don't know too many women that even when they say to take care of me stuff, they're fiercely independent, and they ain't got no man telling nothing anyway. So that's kind of a contradiction. That's all I'm saying. It's a fun, because listen to you. You ain't letting no man tell you nothing. Look, you won't take care of me. So I'm saying, well, wait a minute. What the hell is going on?
I'm dragged in the mouth. Okay.
Can I just?
Sure, Candace.
I just wanted to mention that in a relationship, everyone has their weaknesses and their strengths. And that's the one way of being able to have a balance in a relationship and who takes care of what is understanding where each other's weaknesses and strengths are. One person maybe have more strength in the finance, department. So that person is like the husband or maybe the wife. So the wife is going to take care of all the bills. And maybe the husband, he may do good in taxes. So then the husband is going to take care of the taxes. It's just learning where each other's strengths are and you find a balance to take care of each other in all areas of the relationship. It's not just one designated person. And you start to learn what your value is in the relationship, and then you build up on it.
Right. So I will say this. So
you're
my baby,
both of y'all, it ain't one person taking care of the other. It's
okay, so
balance.
My perspective is that
we're supposed to be taking care of one another.
Okay. So this is what I have to say, Bree.
So let me say this, Candace,
and let me say this, Bree. So here's the point. So if my baby wants her back scratched, and I'm the designated back scratcher, I don't expect her to have to scratch her back and massage her back and stuff like that, because that's what I do for her, okay? You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do for each other.
Right.
So I'm saying, I got you. I literally got your back.
Okay.
All I'm saying
having my back is going to wrap this up. And we're going to take the next 30 minutes of the show to talk about another topic that we need to revisit. Or I'm not even sure if we broached it yesterday, but it's on the queue. And that is the breakup versus the break. What does that mean? What does breaking up mean to you, and what does taking a break mean? I'm a little confused. I've been talking to a few people about this over the last month or so. One person I know in particular, they were seeing someone, and for 3 months, they want a break. mystically, magically, because who they are to one another, they kind of, got back together. So what does that mean? Did they break up, or was they really on a break? I want to hear what you have to say about that, Candace, first, real quick, and then I want to go to Mark, because I'm sure he'll have something to say about that, and then I'll give you my thoughts. So, Candace, what is taking a break really mean?
Well, it could mean several things, but it could mean that, I'm not really feeling this relationship right now, and I don't want to be in this relationship. I mean, I think just taking a break is, yeah, I don't want to be in this relationship. Cause I'm trying to find out when did I ever say that? Did I ever say I'm going to take a break? And I can't, the most recent relationship that I was in, I never took a break. He never took a break. I never took a break. So we were into each other. I personally didn't want to take a break. Anyone that I'm interested in and I'm really digging that person and I really want to have a long-lasting relationship with, I don't want to take a break. We need to go full force forward. We need to, stay in the same direction, heading in the same direction. But taking a break, no. Because when you take a break, that means you're slowing down. So then you don't want to move ahead. You don't want to move ahead in the relationship. And so
exactly.
I think it's just another way of saying I don't want to be with you. I'm not feeling this relationship. And a lot of times people really don't know how to actually come out and say it. So they'll use those types of words,
So, they'll take a break or step back or slow down.
We're moving too fast. We need to. Well, if you're moving too fast, well then I need to leave you behind because I don't want you slowing me down. Okay, for sure.
Exactly.
So I need to get with somebody who's moving in the same direction and in the same speed that I'm going. So if you want to slow down, okay.
Okay, Candace. Right. So what I say to that, and I kind of piggyback off of what you say, whether it's the take a break, slow down, or step back. I say if you want to step back, you need to step off. Because if you are stepping back, if you're stepping back, it could be conceived to, like you said, there's a myriad of things you can look at that. And I'm just thinking that if you're stepping back, you're stepping back because the momentum is too much for you. Or what's being required or expected of you, you can't handle. So instead of saying I think we need to take a break or we need to slow things down or we need to step back from one another, that's a cop out. And you need to put on the big drawers or the big panties and say what it is that needs to be said. And that is that after further consideration, I don't think this is going to work for me, but I wish you peace and blessings and good luck, on your journey. And then step off. That's what I think. What say you, Mark? What say you about to take a break? Did we lose him again? Okay. I'm sure Mark will return. So, Candace, now you told me what the taking a break actually means. Is the taking a break comparable in your eyes to the breakup?
What?
Is that a segue to the breakup? And what does the breakup look like? Because I think there are people out there that are very confused about the difference between the two.
About breakup and taking a break?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it all depends on are you together? So sometimes people are on different pages. They're on two different pages, and it's like, okay, we're working towards being in a relationship. We're not quite there yet. Sometimes you know when it's official. You literally sit down because just like a marriage, you got a contract. And I think even with being in a relationship, we're in a relationship that, you're going to literally say, okay, where are we? Now, where are we? Are we in a relationship? Because sometimes sometimes you need to confirm it. You need to actually say it. You need to confirm it with each other. So that means, okay, now I need to tell all these other people that I'm in a relationship now. So if you're in a relationship, and then, yes, yeah, it's a difference, okay, where it's a breakup. And then you're saying, I'm taking a break. But if you ain't even in the relationship and somebody say, I want to take a break, I mean, like, what do you expect? I mean, you shouldn't even really be that heartbroken by that because you weren't even in a relationship. You just was really getting to know that person anyway. And if a person say, I want to take a break, well, they're fine because maybe it was just something that they saw in you that they did not like and they want to put the brakes on it and say, I'm going in a different direction. I don't want to further this where it will become a full-blown relationship. So it all depends, you know, sometimes you're just getting to know a person. And it's not all official. It's not official. It's not an official relationship.
Mm-hmm. So, Mark, what say you on this?
I don't know what to say. I don't know.
That's unbelievable.
I mean,
and our caller doesn't believe you, and our listeners don't believe that you don't have nothing to say about this issue or any issue.
Well, because you do have to put a label. You have to label it. It's different if you're just getting to know each other and that person say, I want to take a break. Okay, fine, take a break. That means we're not going no further. But if you're in a relationship and you sat down with that person and you put a label on it, okay, we're in a relationship. Let's move on. Well, then it's a breakup.
So when you take a break, do you have the license to be involved with other people, have intimacies with other people? Why you want a break? I remember
the friends. So now I got something to say.
I knew you were gonna have something to say.
So here you go. This is simple. That's a simple one. The bottom line is, what do y'all call? What's the break? What is it? So you could tell me. If you say it's a break, meaning we're breaking, meaning you're gonna go do what you need to do. Because see, the moment you walk away from me, then you're gone. So we've changed everything we're doing.
Exactly. Because I couldn't fix my lips to even say I'm taking a break when I was with my ex-husband.
Well,
I wouldn't think that was the last. That was, ooh,
you
no.
Gone.
I wouldn't even, I would be too, you're absolutely right, Mark, because I would be too afraid. Damn, if I say take a break, damn, I might lose this man. My chances of spending the rest of my life with this
man? No, you wouldn't. Because guess what? If you want to take a break, then that's telling you you ain't worried about the chance of losing him. Because it's something about him that makes you want to break from his ass.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. I never could fix my lips to say that because I was too afraid that I could lose him. I didn't want to take no risk, no chance.
Well, wait a minute. Then that wouldn't apply to you then.
No, it doesn't.
Taking a break don't apply to you then.
No, but I do. You know, I mean, I have some feelings about it.
I'm just saying, if you made a decision to take a break, then you already accepted the possibilities of what could happen.
Okay, I think most time. Maybe I may be wrong because ain't nobody never said this to me. And I ain't never said this to, I can't even recall saying this to anyone else. Most times people just vanish. You know,
really?
Oh,
that's
which
really
is
what
a
happens.
Perfect segue.
You're right. You're right. That's what normally
which
happens.
Which is about what we're going to talk about in the last 10 minutes of the show. The fade to black.
You wrap me up and you don't let me talk. Let me say what I'm getting ready to say. You wrap me up now.
Okay, I'm going to allow you to say what you need to say, and then we're going to go to the fade to black.
That's the fade to black. That's what we're rapping to. So this is what I got to say, because I done had it happen to me too many times where, guess what? She don't answer the phone no damn more. she not responding to no text messages no more.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
It ain't no, and guess what? Especially because we wasn't no boyfriend and girlfriend, it's really going to be like that. So we just been seeing each other, having dates, whatever, and then she decides she don't want to have dates and see me no more. She don't tell me some, hello, are you there? hello.
Okay.
Shit, excuse me, it's over. And now still I hear,
okay.
I hear, what's my man name? I hear, what's his name? Johnny Mathis. I hear Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams in the background.
Too little, too late.
So I get the Johnny Mathis, my Johnny Mathis get to getting on now. So now I have
okay.
to, you know, what I'm going to do? I'm all hurt and
so
stuff.
Let's talk about the fade of black in
and
our
crying.
Lab. Listen, in our last 20 minutes of the show.
And irritated.
Let's talk about the fade to black in the last 20 minutes of the show.
Ooh, yeah,
okay, wait
yeah.
a minute. Stop.
Bohemian
Rhapsody.
We're
going to talk about we are going to talk about the fade to black. And this is a perfect segue because I talked to someone yesterday. And I talked to someone a couple of weeks ago about the fade to black. And I'm observing the behaviors of people, especially things that have been talked about on Facebook. So, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, this is the week of Valentine's Day. And which is Friday, and have you noticed that your lover, your boyfriend or girlfriend, starting not to pay attention to much that you have to say? They're not calling, they're not texting as much, they're not around as much as they have been. Guess what is happening to you? They are fading to black because they have other plans for Friday with somebody else. Ladies or gentlemen, if you notice that your girlfriend or someone that you've been dating is starting to do a whole lot of decorating in their home and getting a lot of furniture deliveries, and stuff, and they also said, oh, on Friday, I have something to do with my mama or my children, or I have to go out of town unexpectedly. I think you should embrace the horror and know that you're not their Valentine because they have plans with somebody else.
Well, this is what
I want to say this real quick.
They showed that 8 days that 8 days before Valentine's Day is one of the highest days of breakups. The eight days preceding Valentine's Day.
That's right.
What did you say? Say that again.
8 days preceding Valentine's Day have the highest incidence of breakups.
And where did you get this from?
I was looking at the New York Daily News. They talk about breakup spike after, and then there's a higher spike after Valentine's Day. It spikes again after Valentine's Day.
Because you know
so
why?
Right
because whatever
Valentine's
was supposed
Day,
to
right
happen,
after.
Because whatever
hey.
Was supposed to happen on Valentine's Day didn't happen.
Well,
so that really
that's
set
thing.
People off.
And guess what? No, sometimes it's the sympathy. Valentine's Day thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do the Valentine's Day thing because it'll be messed up for me not to do it. But right after it's over, it's a wrap, baby. It's a wrap.
Wow.
That's the sympathy Valentine. The sympathy Valentine's Day.
I hope all of you are listening and peeping this out. Be on the lookout for
and guess what? Divorce spikes in the days after Valentine's Day. Study show.
Okay.
Wow. They say a rush. They say a rush of business. They said lawyers say they have a rush of business in mid-February.
Yeah, so my question is why? So my question is why is that?
Hey, I don't know, because people, they don't want to be with them. And Valentine's Day may bring up the angst. Remember, Valentine's can be a very anxious time. Very anxious.
Yeah.
Time because
this week is very anxious.
You're trying to. Oh, Lord. You're trying to impress the person. You want to make sure you put your best foot forward. You also know that the whole issue is a big thing right there. So that means that important to be that person. So guess what?
Well,
conversely, the pressure is on the person that maybe you ain't wanting to be that Valentine's, but you know you're in a relationship with them, so now you're feeling the pressure of, damn, I got to be the Valentine's. You know? Damn, he sent me these flowers. Oh, my God, I don't really want these flowers. Like, from him anyway. Really? And you weren't able to man or woman up before that.
I have a whole different viewpoint about that whole. I have a whole different viewpoint about the Valentine's Day thing. I feel like.
Well, let's hear it.
Right.
I feel like there should not be one designated day to express your love for a person. I believe that it's totally commercial, and I believe that you should show your love to a person every day. You may not show your love in an abundance, but just telling that person, you know, I love you. Giving them a hug. I don't think you should just do it on that one day. I do believe it's a setup. It is.
It's a setup.
A great setup.
Hey, it was a massacre on that day.
It's a setup for disaster. I really believe that. And yeah. I personally, if I was ever in a relationship, my husband or boyfriend would not have to buy me anything on that day. And
guess
I wouldn't
what?
Feel
That's
no less
BS.
Than I wouldn't
BS. Feel. He going to have to, because guess what? The pressure
no,
of society
No, he is
say,
not. Because my baby can take me out the day after. My baby can take me out the next week. My baby can take me on a cruise next month. And I don't care about that day.
He's going to take you on a cruise next month.
And Candace, this is for you. This is for you, baby. Okay? Because I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are saying, yay, Candace. But there are those that are not saying that. That say not so. She said she out of goddamn mind.
You know what they're going to say? They're going to say like the kids say, where they do that at?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like my niece, she would be cracking up.
Where they do that at?
Where they do that at?
Where they do that at? Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
So no flowers, no candies, no nothing on Valentine's the day after? Oh, so you cheat. You're going to go with it 50% off to go to Walgreens. Is that what you're going to do?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Listen.
That's why.
Listen.
Because you know if you go to Walgreens the day after Valentine's Day, that stuff is 50% off.
Everything's 50% off. That's right.
You're going to come over to the house the day after with five bags of Valentine's candy.
Candace.
So, baby, I love you.
Yeah.
It's a commercial day. It didn't mean nothing anyway.
Listen,
so
Candace, be very careful.
You know what?
That you
like
don't get
said,
your
like
sisterhood card revoked.
Like I mentioned to Mark, you can do something as simple as just coming over and having a picnic in my living room. We can light the fireplace and drink some champagne, make a picnic basket.
Y'all crazy? If y'all think you're going to do some stuff, excuse me, I almost cursed, some stuff like that, the bottom line is this, and I'm going to keep it real with all of y'all. Listen to this.
Mark, I need you to listen to this. When Candace was talking, this was going on.
What is that?
Ticking time bomb.
Yeah. Boom. Anyway, look,
boom.
So wait a minute, because we. because I'm listening to this conversation, and one thing about this conversation is we're going so far off the grid, because back to what you were saying, you were talking about fading to black.
Fading to black, yes.
And back to the whole fading to black thing. The reality is when people want to go, they go. They don't do it with notice a lot of times. They're not going to say, as much as you might want them to say, baby, this ain't working out. They ain't going to say that. They're not going to say that.
Why not?
Because
you're doing a personal favor by being honest. That fading to black it's happened to you. You know it don't feel good. It don't feel good.
I'm going to say it again.
Here we go.
Back to my point. People feel this, and I've had women tell me this. I don't owe, meaning they ain't tell me this. They're saying this as just a first friend or friend. They're saying, Mark, the way I look at it, I don't owe that guy nothing. I don't owe him nothing. So guess what?
Yeah.
I ain't going to tell him because I don't owe him nothing. He ain't my husband. He ain't my boyfriend. He's somebody that I'm just kind of seeing. So guess what? I don't owe him nothing. And so that's the – and one thing about it is if you've been in the dating game long enough, you know about that. And it's most about – and it happened to at least once. But for me, it happened more than once. So I know how it is. But it's cool. You stay in the stride, you know. And ain't nobody ever did that to me that I was really, really into. So that's kind of cool, too.
Okay. And well, I tend to not agree with the whole behavior of just fading the black. I don't like it. I don't do it, and I don't want it done to me. You have something to say, say it. You don't want to spend time with me. You don't want to get to know me. You don't want to be my man. You don't want to be married to me. You don't want to, you know, just say it. Say the things that need to be said because people, you know, got better things to do than just to be sitting around trying to figure out, well, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And why is he not calling or why is she not texting me or why don't we go out anymore? Why are we not being intimate as much as we used to? Come on. If this is not what you want,
and
move around.
Well, you don't. They don't have to. That's the reason. So I don't have to.
But I agree with. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but
Sabrina.
Sabrina. Yes. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Sabrina. Most women are going to do exactly what you said. They have the compassion to let that person know that they're no longer interested. Most women do that. But men don't do that. Men just fade. They do. They fade to black.
We know that. Yeah, fade to black.
Most men feel like they don't need no explanation or no excuse. They don't feel obligated, so they won't do it. It's hard for them to fix their lips to be honest in that area of just letting a woman know, you know. It's hard for men to do that. It is hard for men to do that. Why is that?
Well, it's hard for them to keep that representative going, too.
You
know, it's hard for them to keep that damn representative going.
Y'all missing the point. The point is women are well adept at doing that. So before you tell this, there are women. It's just kind of like when Gail said yesterday about going to a dinner with somebody she didn't want to go to. Do you think people don't do these things? Now, you can say you don't do them. Fine. Maybe y'all don't. But it does happen. So I don't think this is exclusive to a gender. Of course, because you date men, of course that's what you're going to be aware of. But my experiences show women are far adept at doing those kind of things. And they do them.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's what I'm saying. That's my only. So it's like when we were talking earlier in the conversation, you know, about this whole stuff of roles and relationships, the reality is that people decide which ones and what they're going to do and when they're going to apply, and they're very selective at when they're going to apply these different things and methods. So when I'm going to be a gentleman, when I'm not going to be a gentleman, when I'm going to do this, when I'm going to do that, whatever the case may be. So I think that's what, you know, you got to keep in mind.
Hello, it's dead.
I don't have nothing else to say on that topic.
Yeah, dead. So as far as that's what I'm saying. Where's Bree at? Bree? You know what? It is 9:53.
How long?
Hello?
Yeah, it's 10:53. And
hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's like, what's going on? You just told me with dead air.
She faded to black.
Hello?
I faded to black.
Okay. She need to fade her black back. She need to fade her black back.
Oh, my God. Well, that's why I have a very well-equipped and qualified co-host to have my back. I do apologize to the listeners. It would not be a Bree Life radio show if we didn't have some type of blog talk technical difficulties going on. So, but I'm sure that the discussion was live and popping while I was going those 2 minutes. So what did I miss?
It was dead air.
It was dead air. Okay.
It was dead air.
Okay. So, in any case, I say the fade to black sucks. And don't do it no more, people. Communicate. That's what you should do. You should communicate. What say you, Candace?
Excuse me?
I said, what say you about the communication?
Okay. You know what? Wait a minute.
Well, it does hurt when people do that, but, like, I agree with Mark that, you know, if you're not in a relationship with that person or if you're not, you know, if you're not married or, I mean, if they fade to black, so be it. You know, my thing is, hey, it must not have been meant to be. It was something in you that they weren't interested in, and so, therefore, why waste your time? So,
okay.
Move on to the next person because, you know,
well, what about the fade to black? What about the fade to black when you have been involved with this person for a considerable amount of time, or you are in a full-blown relationship, or you are married? And the fade to black takes
care. Yeah. They're obligated. They're obligated to give you a reason. There
uh-huh.
has to be. There should be an excuse of why they're moving on or not interested. Why they want to do the cold silence, you know. But you know, to be honest with you, some people can't handle the truth. You know, sometimes
uh-huh.
people fade to black because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You know, we all want to say, oh, you know, well, why don't you just tell me why? Do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want someone to say, well, you know what, you're overweight and I really ain't interested in overweight women? Or because you got too much going on in your life and I don't want to struggle with you? Your breath stink, and damn, I thought maybe if I went out with you for the fourth time, maybe you would have put a mint in your mouth. So people fade to black maybe because they have a reason, and they just don't want to hurt your feelings.
You heard it live. Bree Life Radio. Don't dirty your mouth.
So that's the truth of the matter.
Manage your weight. A few other things. Okay.
Get a job.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Candace. You know what? We are going to induct you into our hall of usual suspects. I wanna welcome you into the Bree Life family fold and invite you back for part three of Love Times Love. I think you are a colorful addition to our panel, and I hope that you'll be calling in from time to time, and we'll hear your perspective on this complicated issue that we seem to be revisiting. But in our last minute, I want to hear closing remarks from Mark and remind the listeners that we're going to have our final edition of Love Times Love tomorrow here on the Bree Life Radio Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Mark? I think he faded to black. So, again, I want to remind our listeners that we will be back for part three tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Candace, I hope you'll be able to join us because the last show is going to be quite lively. I want to thank our listeners for supporting the show. And in closing, I want to wish you all peace and blessings.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, good night. Good night, all.
Good night.